Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. I'm Joanne Breckus, and sitting in front of me, as always, is the president of Renovco, Walter Assey, who is standing by to take all of your questions. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. We have a little bit of a technical issue this morning. So we're going, if you want to speak to Walter, we can't access the text messages for now, but we'll tell you that you can always call us 514-790-0800. And it's even better because you get to speak to the man himself and ask him all of your questions about your home improvement needs, your issues. Again, that number is 514-790-0800. 0800. Walter, did you have a good week?
I had a fantastic week. I had a great
week. I am telling you, post-flooding and pipe bursting in Montreal, where you looked like, every day you look stunned.
You know, once
now you look much calmer.
Yeah. And you know what? We kind of dodged the bullet last Wednesday because, you know, the weather forecast was saying we're going to get 30, 40 millimeters of rain, which is never good news when it's in the winter.
That fast, yeah.
Because in the winter, the ground is frozen. So the soil does not absorb the water, which wreaks havoc into foundation cracks. And you know, we were locked and loaded, but I was dreading it, to be quite frank. So I didn't see myself going through another cat mode like we had.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it's always a good idea to kind of look at things, preemptively.
Now, yeah, you're a big fan of like plan, hope for the best, but plan for the worst, right?
Correct. I mean, now that we dodged that bullet, we know that there's another occurrence that's going to happen, another weather cocktail, and they're becoming very much more common now. With the global warming, and I don't care what people say that doesn't exist, because some people deny that it does, because we're in the business and we see the type of damage that happened, we can track this a bit more accurately, if you wish, because we see, like, you know, 25 years ago, we never used to have rains. We never used to have rainstorms in the middle of the winter. Never.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. In terms of preparedness, if that's what you're talking about for the winter months, in my head, I always think about like frozen pipes and stuff like that. You're saying, hold on a second, the flood is not off the table.
Oh, no, 100%. As a matter of fact, if we have a big quantity of rain in the winter, it's actually worse than having that in the summer. Because, again, the ground is frozen, so it goes straight to your foundation. There's nothing that's going to absorb it before it gets to your French drains, overload your French drains, you know, the sump pump and everything else.
You know, every time you talk about the French drains, it's always associated to some kind of a problem. They're fickle, those French drains. Let's go to that phone lines. Reminder, today our text is not working, so you can call us 514-790-0800. We have Tony on the line. Tony, can you hear us? Tony? Can Tony hear us? Jim, do we have Tony? I know that he's... Tony, can you hear us? I don't think Tony can hear us. Tony, if you want to call back, do you want to call back? What do we do, Jim? Give me a thumbs up. Okay, while Jimmy tries to figure that out, we'll talk about... You were saying that the rain can crack the foundation, right? The rain freezes and cracks the foundation.
Well, no. What I'm saying is when you have any foundation cracks or any weakness in the foundation, in a case like this, we will have water damage through hydrostatic pressure. And that is why it's a good idea to have gutter extensions all the time. Specifically when you hear that, you know, you're going to have a weather occurrence, mild weather in the winter.
Okay. Jimmy just gave me a thumbs up. We're good to go. Jim, Tony, can you hear us now?
Yes, I do hear you.
Okay. We finally got you, Tony. Take it away.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, Walter. I'd like to know, I have to replace my humidifier on the central furnace. Right now I've got a wheel humidifier that turns, but someone recommended me a flow-through humidifier. Is that a better...
You mean the vapor one?
It's a flow-through. That water flows through it.
Correct.
No, it's not vapor. It's a flow-through.
The one.
The water that goes in and it drains out, and there's a pad inside.
That is, for as far as I'm concerned, that is a better system. Yes.
Is there a brand you would recommend for a flow through? Because I know it uses quite a bit of water, though. That's a problem.
It does, but you see, there's two. If you look at the conventional humidifiers we had before, the main issue that we used to have with these humidifiers is, you know, the filter clogs up, and because of the especially if in areas where you have harder water. So if you're not paying attention to the filter, they actually leak sometimes, and they could.
Well, I didn't have a problem with the leaking wheel. I used to do a good maintenance to it, but now it's 15 years old. So I said I might get a new one.
Someone that does good
goes up to 15 gallons a day of water.
Yeah, but here's the thing: it's more efficient because you have to understand it can go up to 15 gallons a day if needed. Meaning, you are hooked into a thermostat. If you achieve the humidity that you need, it stops.
Okay, it will stop. Okay.
So it's not going to really use all of that water, but it could pump up to 15 gallons if needed, which is almost never needed. Unless you have a very big home and with very high ceilings, then you and if it actually kicks in, that means you actually need it. That's the thing.
There's quite a few brands on the market. Would you recommend one brand over another?
I don't really have a preference. I mean, the technology is extremely similar from one to the other. So I really don't, you know, it's really what your supplier is comfortable with. If you have someone that is installed, you're just hiring someone for the humidifier or you're doing any other work?
No, just a humidifier. Someone recommended me Honeywell.
I mean, Honeywell, they do good products. They have a good after-service program.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of local parts. So that you can go wrong with for sure.
It's a good brand.
It's a good brand, yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much, Walter.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much for that. We've got Bonnie on the line. Bonnie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right. Take it away.
Hi, Walter. Well, on August the 9th, I had 4.5 feet of water in the lower level because I have a descending driveway sink, and the water just seems to funnel straight down there. The garage door, the heavy steel garage doors tried to control it, tried to contain it. It simply bent them and came in anyway. I had the sump pump. I had the backwater. I had everything, but nothing could contain that 4.5 feet, which simply I'm not even finished renovating today. I don't know if I ever will be. It's been hell on earth. What do you suggest for a driveway like this? Because apparently there's almost, you have to simply eliminate the garage. Apparently you have to, what, to fill in the driveway so that the garage is no longer available. What do we do with a descending driveway like that that's going to funnel more and more water there, and I'm going to have this over again?
Do you have a linear drain right now in front of your doors? So at the outside, on the driveway,
There's a drain, yes, there's a drain in front of the garage door, which leads into the garage and into the sump pump area, which is also in the middle of the garage. I have that, and then I have that's the drain from the city and to the sump pump, and then I do have French drains and all the other paraphernalia apparently I do have.
Okay.
But I was just being suggested because the city gave an evening where you could go and talk to them about this problem. And they were saying, the engineer that was talking was saying, well, listen, if you've got this problem, maybe you just better do away with the garage, eliminate the garage. I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I don't know how to do that, though. Or is anything I can do in the meantime till I can get that done? Is there any kind of blockade, or metal piece that I can put in front of the garage door to eliminate the water? Or what in the world can I do? Because I wouldn't survive this a second time. It's not even finished yet, and it's been four.
Bonnie, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to hold the line. Walter's going to answer your question in just a few moments. It's time for a teeny tiny break, so don't go anywhere. Where Bonnie, again, if you want to send your questions in, 514-790-0800. Walter is standing by. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Ask, the president of Renovco, is standing by to answer all of your home improvement questions, your quandaries. A reminder that we don't have access to the text line today. So if you want to speak to Walter, 514-790-0800. That's the only way to get him at him today, 514-790-0800. Bonnie has been waiting patiently on the line, and Bonnie has had a terrible time with her driveway. Walter, can you recap what's going on with Bonnie before you
answer? Yeah, so I mean, I understand the descending driveway. It is an issue in Quebec, as was never a good idea to begin with. We very rarely see them in new construction because of that.
Yeah.
There are things or steps that I would like you to take before you condone your garage, because condoning the garage is a big word. Number one, it's going to affect your resale value. Now your house is going to be a no-garage type of a residence. So as far as a real estate investment, it's not the greatest of ideas. So other things are worth exploring in the process. And I'm going to give you a couple of things that not necessarily extremely cost prohibitive, but they are worth exploring. The number one thing that I would do is a linear drain in front of your garage door. So most garage doors have that just square type of small drain, which does not work in a torrential downpour because it just simply fills up very quickly. Whereas if you would have a linear drain, it will have a lot more capacity of intake, so it will kind of direct the water in a much more efficient manner and channel it away from your garage door. Now, if you do that and then combine that with an aqua lock type of a garage door, for example, I'm just using the brand because these are one of the brands that's out there, that is a flood-proof garage door, okay? So it's made and constructed like to stop the water, and it's like a dam. So combine these two, you know, you have a much greater chance of success. It's going to cost you a lot cheaper than condoning your garage door and making it into a basement, if you wish. Because don't forget, you have to do concrete to close the opening. Then you have to membrane this foundation, and then you have to do a backfill, because you can't. The whole idea is behind it. You have to, you know, what you're really doing is kind of continuing your basement. So you have to bring in all this earth in order to bury the down the descending driveway. So it is a big cost factor, very intrusive work. Before you go there, I would actually look into these two solutions first. Now, having said that, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but August 9th, the day before, I think it was with Andrew, and we talked about, you know, preemptively what to do. And I said, put sandbags, you know, before the rain. And you know, the people that heeded that, or there's those sandbags or these flood barriers that you could do, inflatable ones, have actually had no flooding in their basement.
I've had a few
homeowners that told me that when they were doing that in the morning of August 9th, their neighbors were laughing at them, saying, "You guys are exaggerating. It's not going to be that bad." All the neighbors got flooded, and they didn't get flooded. So there's also things you could do when you hear, you know, a bad forecast, is you could buy those barriers or sandbags if you don't want to buy those barriers, and install them and just kind of channel the water out. So there are, if you are in town, there are things to do to kind of minimize the impact to your home.
Bonnie, does that help you out?
Yes, but this is a descending driveway. I mean, the water is coming right down. There were 4.5 feet of water pushing against the garage steel door, and it bent it. So this
it bent the door.
Yeah, but if you would have an aqua lock, that's why I said there are flood-proof garage doors. So they're way stronger. I'm not saying that the garage is not a good brand, but if you have to buy, there are there are certain garage doors specifically made for descending driveways or areas which are prone to flooding. Mm-hmm. That, like Aqualock is one of them, mm-hmm. That are made to stop the water and not to bend the garage door so the water does not come in.
Do you sell Aqualock? Where do I get that? I've never heard of it.
What you could do is, I mean, look, and I'm not, again, please, I'm not pushing that brand, so don't get me wrong. I'm just giving an example of a brand.
Yes,
so
please.
A lot of the garage door suppliers will have access to different brands that are flood-proof. So even if you would call your garage door supplier that you deal with right now and you say, look, I have a descending driveway, I want a flood-proof door, mm-hmm. they will tell you we work with this brand, that brand. They usually have almost all the same type of specifications anyways.
And it would hold out the 4.5 feet of water that was up against
That's
the door?
That's exactly what they're made for, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, is that available in Montreal? Can I find that in Quebec? I
mean, it is. Yes, it is. And if you don't find it, let me know. Like, you can always reach out to me, even call the office, and I will make sure to direct you to the right people to call.
Could I just ask you to do that for me now? Because I have searched for the last several months, and I haven't come up with anything like this. Even an engineer counseling the whole town came out for the consultation that this engineer had, what to do about this problem. He never even mentioned this, and I asked him, what do I do about this descending driveway? And he said, well, maybe it's better to sacrifice the garage.
No.
That's all we got.
Well, if
listen,
there's a flood-proof door available,
Bonnie, the easiest way out is to go to the biggest, most costly solution. So, I mean, it's like a contractor coming to your home and saying, okay, you know what? You have this to do. You have that to do. Let's bulldoze the whole house and rebuild it. Mm-hmm. I don't like these type of approaches. Personally, they're very much, it's too exaggerated. It's too much of an overkill. I would explore every other option that is more practical, that will not touch the value of the home. Because at the end of the day, it's an investment for you. You don't want to also sacrifice the value. I mean, one day, if you sell this house, you're going to have to tell these new homeowners, there was a garage and I condoned it, so too bad, too sad. We live in Quebec in minus 40 sometimes and you don't have a garage. So
exactly.
It's not a plus, it's a minus. So before I go there and, you know, I mean, that engineer, I understand where he's coming from. It's the safest solution, so he will go straight to that. But there are other, there's a roadmap. So before you get there, I would actually do these other steps. And try to see, like I said, in a lot of cases, we've seen successes in these types of scenarios.
Even with 4.5 feet of water pushing again?
Yeah, I think you just have to be able to find that door. We'll try to connect that for
you. I'm going to try to get you in touch with someone, and they can explain you everything that you need to know about that. But you have to combine it with a linear drain. Don't forget.
Okay, Bonnie, thank you so much for your call.
Well, he'll contact me. Does he have my phone number then to contact me?
I will ask Jimmy to take the info down
and
he will text me. Okay?
Oh, thank you, Walter, so very kindly. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie. Keep those calls coming in, 514-790-0800. The text line, we don't have access to it today, so it's 514-790-0800. Your questions for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back. I was going to say the time. We cannot say the time. And the reason we cannot say the time on the Home Improvement Show is because the show is getting bigger and it's going into many different cities. So we don't want anyone to feel left out. Do we, Walter?
Getting more and more popular by the day, Joanne.
The price of popularity. Well, listen, 514-790-0800. That is the only way to reach us this morning because the text line is, we can't access it. So 514-790-0800. That is how you get to Walter Assey and you can ask him your questions on today's edition of the Home Improvement Show. We were chatting during the break about the fact that many of you will either be going out to your country homes, you'll be taking mini vacations, you'll be going out of town during the winter holidays, the holiday season, which leaves your house vulnerable to what, Walter?
I mean, it's especially now, like in the olden days, we used to be worried about frozen pipes. Now, unfortunately, it's not the only thing we worry about. So we treat our winter as if, you know, it's spring thaw almost. You know, every few weeks we will have that weather cocktail of mild weather that comes in and brings with it ice damming. It brings with it, you know, cracks through the foundation. So we have to be mindful for that. And if you know that there's areas that are prone to problems, make sure to shovel as much snow out of these areas as you can to decrease the amount of water that could melt and go into the through these areas to your home.
But important when shoveling that you respect your heart, by the way, because we always hear these terrible stories of men giving themselves heart attacks
bless
from
your heart.
Shoveling.
Absolutely.
Bless my heart, bless your heart. Okay, we've got a call in here. Is that, Jimmy, is that Robert or is that Peter? Because they're both, what's this person?
Peter.
Peter, hi. Sorry, Peter. Jimmy put two names there. It's okay. He's a very busy, hardworking man. Peter, take it away.
So, but a few months ago, I was listening to a program about radon and how important it is and how a lot of people don't know about it. It's a really toxic gas that emutes from the foundation of your home. I measured the readings and it was at, well, the norm is anything below 100 or 150 is normal. Mine was reading 348. So it was very high radon. So I called a radon mitigation certified specialist and got a mitigation system in my home. And the reading went from 348 to 22. It was amazing. I never knew it was so like prevalent in homes like that, but it's the number one killer for cancer aside from smoking.
Well, Peter, it's interesting because last week we did a radon, or the week before we did a radon special with actually a radon with Health Canada. So interesting. Walter, anything to add to this?
Well, Peter, I mean, thank you for mentioning that. It is true that it's a subject that is not very common yet between homeowners. And you've touched on a point that is important on what's considered normal. So as per Health Canada, they're still at 200 is their number. But there are certain studies that actually bring this number down to 70. So I don't know, maybe they might adjust that figure in the future, but for now their normal threshold is 200.
I hear in Europe it's like 150. It's even lower in Europe.
That is correct. And there are certain studies that is even suggesting that number should be around the 70 mark.
Yeah.
Having said that, yes, so the mitigation that you did was smart. 22 is a very good number. And for the listeners, do you mind sharing how much this mitigation costed you, Peter?
It was around, with the certification from a certified person that was certified for Health Canada, it was around $3,000.
You see, I mean, the cost is not that prohibitive. It's actually very affordable. And it is important to do, because like 348, second leading cause of cancer in Canada. That's crazy. Yeah. Lung cancer.
And if you smoke and you have radon in your basement, it's even double the chances, like triple the chances you'll get cancer even more.
That is correct. So, I mean, it is a big issue. I do encourage everyone. They're affordable, the tests. I mean, you can buy the pucks and send them off yourself. You can have a monitor in your basement. You can have the portable ones. Just anything that you can, just to have the testing done. And you know, again, if you have it, at least you know. If you can't afford to pay for the mitigation now, what you do is you don't spend as much time in the basement. You go in the higher floors, because typically the concentration is lower. So what you're doing is you're really kind of minimizing your health risk. That's I mean, it doesn't do anything to your home, but it does something to your house, which is more important.
And as well, it ups the value of your home when you want to sell it, because then you could say, well, listen, there's radon everywhere. I have a mitigation system. It's a real plus when you want to sell your house.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's the same concept that, I mean, I remember years and years ago when nobody knew about mold, and you tell people you have mold in your home, they look at you like as if you're speaking Chinese to them. And with time, now everybody talks about mold, and, you know, radon is going to be that in maybe a few years from now. So you're absolutely right. The fact that...
Okay, thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for that call. Who do we have waiting? We have Chester. Chester, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Hey, hi, Walter. Thanks for taking my call. One quick question. My daughter purchased a house, and the owner painted the patio door windows. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions how to get that paint off.
Did you try thinner?
No.
Yeah, so try just paint a regular paint thinner, especially if it's an acrylic paint. It's water-based, then it will just come off.
Then it'll just come off, yeah, okay, because yeah. I thought thinner, because I know thinner would make it bubbly and then it would stick, no?
No.
There are
paint removers, and I mean, we usually use that when you want to clean up, if you have paint spots after painting a home.
Okay.
You use that type, but I mean, usually on glass, it should be even easier.
Easier, right? So we just spray it on and we scrape the paint off.
Yeah, so you just put it on a rag.
Okay, on a rag.
You just, yeah, exactly. Do a small test first just to see, but usually on glass, it's fairly easy to remove.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day.
My pleasure.
Bye. All right, thank you so much for that, Chester. I have some good news to announce. We have access. To the text messages.
How did you do that?
I might not last long, but thank you to Jay Farrar, our colleague, who was working some magic behind the scenes there. So if you want to, now you can text us as well. 514-790-0800. That is the text line. You leave your name, please, if you send a text.
I see Juan smiling right now.
Well,
I came in, she had a red face.
Because honestly, we've been struggling, mainly our own fault that this is happening, my fault that this is happening. So we will try to get to your text messages coming up in just a few minutes. Ron is on the line. Ron, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a teeny, teeny, tiny break. We're going to and be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, standing by, ready to take your calls and your text messages because success. We have the text board. It is back on 514-790-0800. Ron is waiting patiently on the phone. Ron, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much for taking my call. So here's the issue. I had pendant lights near the front entrance, and I wanted to replace them with spots. The issue is when we took down the lights, the space above is too small to get the box in. So I was wondering, are there such thing as spots that have an integrated circuit, so it's just a spot, you don't need a box?
You have flat mounted spots. They're low profile. Mm-hmm. What is the space that you are talking about? Like how much?
Yeah, how much is the space?
Yeah, the void.
It's not so much the depth, it's the actual width of the space behind the hole. It's less than the box.
So what?
And there's wood on either side. Really small.
No, it's not actually. You have, mm-hmm. you can have, easily you can, there are many, it can go up, down actually to 2 inches if you need. Where are you looking? Where are you shopping for it, Ron?
I went online trying to find anything using those kind of criteria.
Yeah. So what you're going to do if you try to go to Lumen or
okay.
Franklin Empire.
Okay.
They have access to a lot of different sizes and models, more than
Excellent.
You would find in the big... they're specialized. I mean, that's where electricians go to buy
Perfect.
Their supplies.
Okay.
And they will be able to guide you through the different brands. So some of them you might not find in the big box stores, unfortunately,
right.
but they have
right.
a lot of specialized items.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ron.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Ron. We have a question now from the text line that is working, from Jonathan, who asks about baseboards. Should the electric baseboards sit flush with the floor or higher? Now, I know Walter's going to say they're going to go in the garbage because you don't like electric.
Not really a rule, but you see more often than not in basements now, people like to maybe install them a bit higher due to flooding, and they, you know, because that's you don't want them to flood out and then you have to replace them. So there's not really a clear route. Up in the upper floors, obviously, it have to be flush mounted because it looks nicer. You don't want to have any void at the bottom. It will look hideous, actually. So yes, it will have to be installed. So from a cosmetic design perspective, it will be on the floor. It will look a lot nicer. From practicality perspective, if you're in a basement, you might want to go a bit higher, just especially if you are in an area where it floods often. And that's why I always say maybe in basements, you should look into more convectors than actual electric baseboards, because convectors are wall-mounted and they typically sit higher on the wall.
You want to remind Walter why you dislike, remind everyone why you don't like the electric baseboards?
It burns the air particle. It's not a healthy way of heating. Now, it's fine for basement because it's an auxiliary heat, meaning basements are typically humid. So, you know, if it dries up the air, it's not such a bad thing. And usually it's a secondary source of heat. So usually you would have the heat registers that are on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And because they're on the ceiling in a basement, you need auxiliary heat on the floor because hot air rises. So in the very, very, very cold days, they will kick in. I can live with that. But to have them as your main source of heat, with when you have that much choices out there now, and you know, fairly affordable choices.
I was going to say, are they cheaper? Is that why? Or was it just cheaper. A style in the old
yeah,
days?
Yeah, no. It's not a style at all. It was just a cheaper way to go. But, I mean, in today's world, you have convect air, which is forced air. I shouldn't say convect air is a brand. So, I'm not trying to endorse anything. I have to be careful with that. But what I'm trying to say is that there's so many brands out there, like Foremost, like, you know, that are more affordable now. And the price difference is that it's not that much higher than electric baseboard. They're usually nicer looking. And it's more a comfortable way of heating your home. So that's why I'm saying it's I want to say passé. It's still being done, unfortunately. But, you know, look at your options first.
Yeah. And I know for you, because the thing about Walter is that, yes, it is the home improvement. It is the repair. It is the installation. But you're big on design. Like, and people, that is a big, you're very aesthetic. Like, it has to be aesthetically pleasing.
Well, everything you do, I mean, for most people, their home is their biggest investment. Mm. So everything you do, you have to protect that investment. And you have to find ways to make it pay in dividends. So you're spending that money and you're throwing it out. For me, if you're spending it in the right place, it's not really spending, it's investing in your home. So it's money that you're going to get back when you sell, eventually, if you sell, if you flip. And even it's money that you can tap in at any time you need. So you don't need to necessarily sell to make money out of the house. But if you do it, if you renovate it with design and investment and resale in mind, even when you call the bank and you need to take a loan, you get more money. Julia, Jessica, and I wish her a very happy birthday. We love her very much. She does a lot for us.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating her big day today.
And she's a pretty spectacular lady. I've met her. She's gorgeous and she's very, very kind. That does it for this edition of the Home Improvement Show. Thank you all for your calls and for the text messages that that finally came in. We'll talk again next Saturday.
Absolutely.